Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Ramesses.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God,
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain.
Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain.
Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man.
When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man.
And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, May the 2nd of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to wrap up what we talked about yesterday, what we started talking about yesterday when I was dropping some major knowledge. And again, before I get started, let me make sure that everyone understand, I'm not here to try to bash anybody. I'm not angry. I'm not hostile. I'm not upset. But I am disappointed in myself because of the psychological effects of what is called learned helplessness. That is the result of believing facts and figures that are not based up on universal truth. Meaning, your spirit can discern a lie. It's very, very interesting to me when, especially women, they know something is off. They feel it in their bones and in their body. They will ask their man, they'll ask their child, they'll ask someone, they'll ask, for example, they ask their son, did you do blank? The son or the daughter will say, no, I did not do blank. Intuitively, the mother will know, she will sense that little Johnny, little Susie is not being quite open and authentic, but there is no proof. Since the mother has no proof, she doesn't discipline or she allows little Johnny to continue, or little Susie to continue. Just to find out later that what she instinctively knew was actually true. Women, happens all the time. A man cheats on his wife or his girlfriend or what have you, and the woman knows and she asks, hey, honey, is everything okay? You know, oh, no, baby, we're good, we're good. But the woman senses, the woman feels. She has no proof, none whatsoever, but her vibe. The vibe is off. But she doesn't go with that vibe. She goes with facts, figures that's provided by the husband or the boyfriend. It works both ways, or provided by, again, the wife or the girlfriend. And what happens biologically to your body is what we call cognitive dissonance. Since your brain is going against your heart, it produces double-mindedness. It releases cortisone. It releases adrenochrome. It releases all of the chemicals that is the result of a fight or flight that activates the amygdala and the hypothalamus. This is called the circle or the science of fear. Now, that happens in Christianity. Unfortunately for most people don't understand why they feel the way that they feel. Now, today I'm not going to talk. I was going to go very esoteric, very biological. I was going to get into some deep Hebrew. I was going to get into some science and talk about the specifics of how the amygdala and how the hypothalamus is activated whenever you are in a environment that has been culturally manufactured, or a culturally induced ignorance or manufactured fear. But instead of going into the biology of manufactured fear, I need you to understand. And instead of going into the culture of how this particular ignorance is actually induced into the pituitary gland and into the amygdala and the hypothalamus that has the ability to cloud your vision or your third eye, this actually calcifies your third eye more than any type of a dietary or fluoride. Stinking thinking calcifies the pineal gland, and it limits your scope or your perspective. Since the Father, the universe, the Pleroma, is giving you the truth, it's written in your heart, it's not written on tablets of stone. You know the truth, but you refuse to accept it. There is no one that's listening to the sound of my voice that, after doing any type of due diligence, could not ascertain the truth. Now, let me make sure that you understand what I am expressing to you today. There has been a plethora of books written. There it is in basic historical facts of the three families that came together that was funded by Constantine and Flavianus Josephus to manufacture what we have today. Now, this is known. Anyone can go in and to Google and type in Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. Anyone can go in and type, the sack of Jerusalem, 70 AD. Anyone can go in and type in Judas Christus. And anyone can go in and type in Jesus Christ and hit enter on a search engine. Judas Christus, where I get the Christus versus the Christus. Anybody can go and get Bible Gateway or Esau and type in the word crest or Christos, which means a weapon or a implement of God. Or you can type in what we have today, which means Chris or Christos, which is Greek. That means drug or drugged by Yah. Anybody can type in Bishop, what's the bishop's name? Bishop Euebus. So Bishop Euebus, Euebius, he compiled a bunch of writings, and he bound or he put these writings or these stories together. He was a Presbyterian. And he arranged this production of all of this. Now, this is basic history. Now, based upon basic history, We can look at Emperor Constantine. Now, I'm just throwing out names. That way you can look them up for yourself later to verify what I'm about to tell you today. There are names. You can look up, you know, Harris. You can look up Tiberius Ben Panthea. Tiberius Ben, B-E-N, Panthea, P-A-N-T-H-E-R-A. He was a Roman centurion. He was there. You could talk about Nabatine Miriam, who we know as Mary, but her name is Miriam. Her first name was Nabatina, N-A-B-A-T-E-A-N. Basic historical fact. No mystical feel-goodism. And we could talk about, again, the fact that there was an individual who went to Egypt and became initiated into the Egyptian highest order and became one of the highest ranking Egyptians from a cult or from a group of people called the Essenes. And these Essenes had particular way of thinking, and they have a book called, again, the Gospel of the Essenes, or the Essenes, and you can Google it and read it. Well, there was an individual who had a Druid background. Her name was Mary Magdalene. She was also one of the Essenes. Now, this is basic history. We could also talk about where the word, where the Christians or the Creston comes from. Well, you guys will hear me say all the time, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Creston. Because the word Creston existed way before the word Christian does. And we could talk about how Simeon or Simon of Crete or Crean, that's found in Luke chapter 23, verse 41. Luke 23, 41 talks about this individual. This individual was a Creston. He was not a Christian. Now, you should be saying to yourself, now I can go on, and we could sit here and talk facts all day, and you would go to sleep. But what happens, these facts that I am presenting to you, they tower over faith. Now, in the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphic text speaks about an initiation that takes place that is called the twice-born initiation. He who has renewed his life, twice-born. Now, this is inside of all of the ancient texts. This particular ceremony, if you will, was one of the things that where we get our teachings from, a lot of our teachings from. This all comes from the Egyptian mystery school, which, according to the ancient text, Rabbi Jesus had been initiated into the Egyptian mystery school religions when he disappeared from the age of 18 to 33. Now, or 18 to 30. And then he came back at age 30, started his ministry, and he passed away, supposedly, at age 33. Now, that's the story that they've given us. Now, you should be saying to yourself today, well, Brother Will, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with anything that I believe? Well, science has proven, and as I talk about, and it was really expressed in the movie Split. I really like that movie because it breaks down what I've known for years. And to see it in a movie just was really, you know, liberating for me. Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about, and I talk about Dr. Bruce Lipton because, again, as a cellular biologist and a histologist and someone who understands neuroscience, he talks about how a person's belief actually changes the biological molecular structure of the cells. Your belief changes your brain's pattern. This is called neuroplasticity. Now, I have inside of my book that breaks all of this down as well, that talks about how the brain is changed when you have a belief in God, specifically a belief in Christianity. Now, why is that important? That is important because the beliefs that we have in Christianity. Now, I am not trying to bash Christianity. We could talk about any religion. That's just, that happens to be my religion that I was raised in. And so I want to make sure that you understand that we could talk about any religion. As I've looked at and went through all of these religions, in science, there are things called terms of endearment. Terms of endearment disconnect the brain's reason and logic. Now, this is scientifically proven. That is why we have law enforcement officers. That's why we have a president. That is a term. We have doctors. Those are terms. Reverend, doctors, bishop. Those are terms of endearment. Now, terms of endearment are psychological terms that discombobulates the brain. Psychologically proven. So the Inquisition and everything that happens when a believer, what happens when someone becomes a born-again believer from a biological perspective? From a biological perspective. Now, this is good or this is bad. It just depends upon your belief. There is a reason why the Bible is called the gospel. It is called the gospel because the Bible itself says that you're going to be a slave. You're going to be a slave to righteousness or you're going to be a slave to sin. Now, this is the foundation of everything that I do. Everything that I do is based upon the etymology of words and what happened at the Tower of Babel or Babylon. Now, Babylon means Babel. What I am doing right now is babbling. But what happens when you babble is you are casting a spell. Now, to cast a spell, one must fail. Now, the reason why this is so important is because we were never taught, at least I wasn't taught, that casting a spell was simply doing grammaria, what we call in English grammar. So the English language, the Bible, and all religions, and all speech does something to your physical body. That's first base. First base is anybody that talks to you is manipulating you. So that's why you got to be careful who you talk to. Anybody that talks to you is manipulating you or has the potential to manipulate you. So that manipulation must be based upon facts, preferably. I talked about in part one. Now, this is called morphology. Now, in language, there are seven keys. Now, I talk about this. The key of religion was taken out. What does that mean? That means, brothers and sisters, when we talk about the dark side of Christianity, if you believe in Christianity, at least believe in the original Christianity based upon facts. The facts that are presented to us today can be researched based upon history. Now, can history be a lie? Absolutely. That's why I don't go by historical facts only. I go by ruling vibe. What do I mean? As I said at the beginning of today's show, you have a child. The child comes home. The neighbor calls and said that they saw your child throw a rock through. This happened to me when I was a kid. So I threw a rock through this lady's house and I ran home. By the time I got home, everybody already knew. So my grandmother asked me, boy, did you throw a rock through blankety blank's window? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. My grandmother asked me again, are you sure you did not throw a rock through blankety blank's window? My grandmother had no proof that I threw the rock through the window. She had hearsay. She just had somebody else. The lady didn't actually see me throw the rock through the window. She heard somebody else who told the story. And then somebody else who told the story. That somebody else who told the story. That it was me who threw the rock through the window. So what am I saying? Is it possible for historical facts to be non-historical? Absolutely. People write history. The winners of wars write history. But the vibration of the universe doesn't. That is fact. That can't be manipulated. So I am suggesting that everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, recheck your vibe. Make sure that your antenna is tuned in. Make sure that you are receiving the right frequency from the Most High. Now, frequency matching is the ability to match frequency with something that you are desiring. So the Bible says this. This is what changed my life. And instead of me talking bad about Christianity, and I got a bunch of facts that I could talk about, there is nothing that I can find in Christianity that is authentic, meaning original. Now that shouldn't bother you very much, because when I was a preacher, I knew all of this. So how did I continue to preach? You know what I did? I said to myself, well, if God knows that the devil is the bad guy, he knew that the devil was going to marry Christianity and paganism before he did it. This is how I rationalized in my head, and I rejected what I'm telling you today 20 years ago, 25 years ago now. So 25 years ago, I read a book called The Bible Fraud. It messed me up. I read a book called Christianity in Crisis by Hank Hanegraaff. That messed me up. I read another book, The Book of Thought. I read the Emerald Tablets. I read the Book of the Law. I read the Emerald Bible. I read the Codex Gigas. I read the Lesser Keys of Solomon. I read all of these books. And then the thing that really messed me up, though, was when I read that the history of the three families, the Cosons, the Favons, and there's three families that were very wealthy that was commissioned by Emperor Constantine. They had the money to fund what we know as Christendom. And then I read and looked into the symbols of the Chiro, which I've told everybody to, again, look it up. C-H-I-R-O-R-H-O. C-H-I, Chi. It is a monogram, and it's the first two letters of the Greek word Christos that gives us the English word Christ. Who created that symbol? It's a sigil. A sigil produces a chemical. It's called a crystogram. It superimposes, as I talked about before when I did my show on the Egyptian hieroglyphics. That's why I don't recommend you looking at symbols for long periods of time. What is a hieroglyph? Hieroglyphic in Greek means sacred writing. So these, again, are something that messes up your chemistry on a cellular level. You don't even know it. So that's why there is symbols or logos at every major corporation. They spend millions of dollars. Do you think CBS or NBC, that guy on Facebook, man, and he broke all of this, some of the, like, CBS, NBC, how they all have the same numerical value of either 13 or 33. Because those two numbers, 13 and 33, are two of the most esoteric or satanic numbers. So when you add up the letters of, like, CNN, NBC, ABC, you know, NASA. NASA, N-A-S-A, actually means Nakash, which means serpent. And there's a whole other thing that's hidden, but it's hidden in plain sight. So what am I saying? What does this have to do with religion? I'm saying that religion is no different. I'm saying that Christianity is no different. I'm saying that Constantine is no different. So do you throw out the baby with the bathwater? No, you take the baby out of the dirty water. That's what I'm, what is the baby? The baby is the consciousness, if you want to use that term. When I say consciousness, what do I mean? I'm not talking about this mystical new age version of consciousness. Consciousness, the true consciousness, is the fact that there is a man that man that everybody worships, that we know as Jesus Christ. But there should be something that the scripture says over 200 times, as I recommended you to do, which is go to Bible Gateway or eSword or any search engine and type in the word in Christ, where it tells us that we should be in Christ. What does that mean? That means that we are blood cells inside of the body of Christ. But what does that mean? That means that now that word Christ means the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. It all has to do with a particular office, or what I call a particular disposition or a particular mindset. So as I talk about inside of my book Christened, which is the biological proof, and I've got a $10,000 challenge out there for anybody that can prove me wrong, because of the biological proof. Now, what do I mean by biological proof? Well, now there is something called biotheology. It is the biological theology of God. I have inside of my book, The Standard, that was done by Dr. Gabriel Eibo, that biologically proves, and mathematically proves the understanding of what we call God. Now, it doesn't prove the existence of a man outside of the body. It proves the existence of a man inside of the body. This is what is called municipal theology or medical theology. So this biotheological understanding provides to me a synthesis of the missing link. Now, for some people who don't like science, this does nothing. So what do you have to do? All I'm simply saying this is that the evidence irrefutable that there is a spiritual inorganic wave frequency vibration is the only words that we can use that we can understand it. But it's not even that. There is a fabric that supports what you and I call life. This fabric has something in it that allows us to go through a spiritual purification process. But this purification process is the result of a inner process that must take place. And there is some intentional inner conflict that one must go through to battle to get to a place of what is called regeneration. Nothing is done outside of the body. Everything takes place inside of the body. And there are biological processes that takes place that can be proven with the right instruments that shows a person is biologically saved. Now, this is called biotheology. Now, for some people, they rather have a feeling. They rather have emotionalism. They rather have externalism. Now, the reason I'm not an externalist is because the definition of the word demonstration has the word demon in it. Now, I've challenged and I've asked everybody not to believe a word that I'm saying, but to look up the terms and the definitions of the word that we use every day. Now, I've been talking about this for 20 years. So the people who've been following me, this is old news. So the dark side of Christianity is this. You have externalism, but there is no internal. You got X instead of S. You got exoteric instead of esoteric. Now, can you have both? That's Roman. I would like for nobody to stop believing in the physical Jesus, the virgin birth, speaking in tongues, fire baptized, everything that you believe. I would ask, or I would recommend that you add to your belief, not remove. Now, I believe in a different Jesus than most people believe in. I don't believe in the 325 version of Jesus. I believe in the Jesus that existed before 325 AD, before Constantine changed him. And you should be asking the question based upon, again, let's just take basic English. Genius is a basic word. Now, I always thought a genius meant a smart person until I looked it up. Now, the word genius actually means guardian spirit. It means tutelary. It actually means gen, J-I-N-N. Now, again, this is just one word. Tutelary deity is what the definition of the word genius means. And the word genius comes from the word genus. Genes, J or G-E-N, has to do with your genes. Now, I could go through this word and I could break it all the way down for you and show you how at this core, at the base, this word has to do with demonology. It has to do with what is called a tutelary god. A tutelary god, the word tutelary comes from the word tutor. So that means that is a jinn or a genie that is assigned to you to beget you. That's why Yeshua is called the first begotten of the Father, because everybody else is begotten of the anti-father. So if you don't understand the definition of the word begotten, you don't know what it means. The word begotten means that it creates a special atmosphere for you to grow up or to get what is called a generative power. Now, I am reading this from dictionary.com. This is not no ancient text. So this means the word genius means incarnation with talent, prophetic skill, generative. So everybody got to be regened. The only question is by what frequency or what wave or what vibration. The word generative simply means the production of offspring. Now, this is from the word genius. So how does one become a genius? Well, I know. The question is, do you know? I don't follow geniuses because I know what a genius is. It is the production of an offspring. The father is producing offspring. The anti-father is producing offspring. And these offspring are being produced through what I am doing right now, which is called linguistics. So if you follow the wrong teachings, you will have the wrong tutelary or the wrong generative power, the ability to read gene. As in the movie Split, your beliefs change your genes. So I don't care what genes you're born with. You could be born highborn. Maybe you're O negative, O positive. Maybe you're able. It doesn't matter anymore. What matters is what words are hitting your eardrums. What frequency is vibrating in your body? So right now, the frequency that is the traditional Christianity produces a lackadaisical, externally oriented, talk a good game, ain't gonna bust a grape. That is the disposition that I had, because that was the tutelary demon or the tutelary power that was downloaded into my brain due to my listening to a particular set of rules and regulations. This is called generative power that comes from the word genius, that comes from the word genie. So the ability, again, to produce offspring, that's what this is all. Everything on earth is all about producing offspring. So the father is trying to produce, again, sons. The Bible says all of creation is groaning and is waiting. There's a war going on to see who can produce the most offspring. Are you going to be of your father, the devil, and the works of the father, the devil you would do? He was a liar from the beginning. Or you will be of your father, and you'll be operating in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and those types of things. But the problem is, my brothers and sisters, we don't understand the English language. As I talked about before, the word demon, stration. The word demon, stration, is the word demonic administration. So you're going to be a part of the Morningstar or the Messianic administration or the part of the demonic administration. So if you show me somebody, and this is why I don't do emotionalism. Now, I used to be a very, and I still am a very high energy person. But my high energy now is directed in the area of producing a product, a service, or an information that benefits other people more than it benefits myself. I am interested in now in using all of my demonstration to channel it into the Morningstar administration. So I'm no longer interested in the act of demonstrating. I'm no longer interested in the act of proof that something is true. The word demonstrate means that you spend all of your time. Now, this is important, but I need you to find out. I need you to see what takes place. Now, the Bible says that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. He transformed his demons into ministers of righteousness. Most churches teach how to be righteous. They can't. That's demonic. Now, I've never heard this preached or taught nowhere on the globe, to my knowledge, nowhere. Because if you go to the church and say that hey, you're not supposed to teach righteousness, then what are we supposed to teach? Well, Hebrews 6:1 tells you what to teach. That's why I'm a Hebrews 6:1 component. I always talk about Hebrews 6:1. It says, let us go on past, and it lists everything that every church I've ever attended to teach. I've never been to a church that does not teach what Hebrews 6:1 says don't teach. I've never been to a church that does not teach what Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says not to teach. So why are we teaching it if Hebrews 6:1 tells us not to teach it? Now, I'm not really someone who's interested in the synthetic application of understanding. Now, the synthetic application of understanding is what I've been talking about, which is culturally induced beliefs based upon fraudulent facts and figures. That's what we have right now. We got a culture of ignorance. Nobody does any type of scientific investigation. You don't like science? Okay. How about we do a biological investigation? Oh, you don't like biology? Okay, how about we do a linguistical investigation? One of those three, brother, you got to be with me on one of those three, bro. You got to be with me on one of those three, sis. You don't like biology? Okay, we won't do biology. I can biologically prove what I'm teaching, biologically. But you don't like the human body. You said that the body is going to die and go back to dirt. Okay, I'm with you there too. No problem. Okay, let's break this down linguistically. Let's use language, since everybody speaks some type of a language. And based upon language, let's break this down linguistically, regardless of what language is spoken, whether it's Aramaic, whether it's Latin, whether it's French, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's Greek, whether it's English, we can break this down. The word demonstrate means proof that something is true. That's what demonstrate means. Demonstrate means to indicate that something is true. Demonstrate comes from a root word. This is why I don't do demonstrate. Now, I used to do this. I used to debate, and I used to spend all my life proving that something is true. What I'm doing today is trying to express, expose, and expand to you that there is a frequency by which is being sent down from the Father that you have inside of your body that allows you to know the truth. I am not trying to provide, or I'm not trying to talk you into, I'm not trying to display, I'm not trying to use no illustrations, I'm not trying to use no experiments, I am not trying to convince you to stop being a Christian. What I am doing is talking to you to get you to think. That's it. What I want to do is inspire you. I want to inform you. I want to influence you. I want to reveal. I want to explain. I want to illuminate. And I want to simplify. So that way you can go through the process of studying yourself. I got out of the debating business. I don't debate anymore. I educate. I'm not a debater. I'm an educator. Why am I not a debater anymore? Because of the definition of the word demonstration. So anytime you do any type of illustration. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with pointing stuff out, talking and doing this stuff, but you got to understand what it means. The word D-E, like the word dis, this is a, what do you call it, a prefix. It points to something. And so the word monstration comes from the Latin word monstrate, or monstrar, or monstrum. It means divine omen or monster. So demonstration is proving that you are a monster. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Now, this is at dictionary.com, down at the very bottom of the page where it says word origin and history of the word demonstration. As I've said, same thing with the word human. It means monster, demonstrate. So if you go out and you're very animated, you are acting like a monster, according to the definition of the word. Now, that definition, monster, means that you are doing something that is considered, you know, a grotesquely deviation from the norm. Now, you are a spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests itself through a body. You should not be acting like a monster. But the more demonstrative you are, shouting, turning over chairs, foaming at the mouth. Now, don't get me wrong. I used to do all that stuff, too. Still get my shot on every once in a while. You know what you're doing. You're not acting again. Now, people say, well, hey, David danced until his clothes came off, and people throw all these scriptures out all the time about different stuff. And I would actually go look at the definition of the word dance in that scripture, and you'll see what I'm saying. See, if you don't look at the definitions of the original word, you have no idea what they mean. So this word monster means a malformed creature. It means someone who has a birth defect, or someone who's acting like a birth defect, or someone who has a divine omen placed on them as a sign in order to warn and to monitor. The word monster comes from the word monitor or minotaur, which used to haunt me in my dreams when I was a little kid. Minotaur. A minotaur is a human body in a bull head. Now, I can go into what the esoteric means. It's an imaginary beast, centaur. Now, when I was a little kid, I was tormented. That's why I used to urinate and defecate on myself, because when I closed my eyes, I saw the minotaur. And I would tell people, and nobody would believe me. So as a kid, I saw what is inside of the definition of the word demonstration, that's inside the definition of the word monster, that's inside the definition of the word monitor, that's inside the definition of the word monastery, which is inside the definition, again, of the word warn. So that was a warning. Somebody was trying to warn me. It's something that is sent to warn. It's an imaginary beast. It is a centaur. So this word, when you act very demonstrative, when you fight, when you do what we do, brothers, brothers, y'all know, fun, fighting, and effing, you know, we got to act bad. You know, black men, you know, we walk with that dip. See, that's a divine omen. Now, that word omen, again, it means that something is about to happen, or something is believed to happen. It's a prophetic sign that something is going to happen. Now, all of that from one word, demonstrate. I'm expressing that to you because I don't want you to demonstrate. I want you to do what they do in the East. The one thing I learned when I went to the military, and I had the luxury of being stationed, I went to Korea, went to Okinawa, and I went to mainland Japan. Blew my cookies. When I saw 80, 90, 100-year-old people out there doing Tai Chi on break, I would go out to these factories in Japan. Anybody been to Japan and cherry blossoms, y'all know what I'm talking about. Especially if you've been to Osaka, if you've been to Tokyo, if you've been to Iwakuni, if you've been to any of those places in Japan, you've seen those gray tall buildings and the factories, and everybody come out on their break, and you see 200, 300 old people out there, and they all moving in harmony. They're doing Tai Chi. They're moving very slowly, because the scripture says, be still and know. So this demonstration that we are accustomed to, the people that are the most animated, in my opinion, just my opinion, which don't mean a hill of beans, but I got some biological proof to go with it. Those people, again, have more of the potential to be under the influence of a frequency that makes them animated. Because there's another frequency that, again, makes you cool, calm, and collective. It allows you to face your adversity without going off. So when you find someone that has the potential to be or to go into fits of rage and emotional display, what you are witnessing is demonstration. Now, am I saying that person is under a demon? Everybody's under a demon. Do you know what the word demon means? It just means disposition. Now, what does that mean? Now, according to the biology, now, this is why I like biology. It just means it's a big piece of gray matter in your brain. That means there's a bunch of thoughts, they got together and they united together and they set up shop in your head. That's all it means. So this gray matter means that there's a bunch of ruling dispositions. There's a bunch of thoughts that have come together, and they create a demon, or they create a disposition. This disposition, this is your position. The word disposition, now you got a position. Your position, again, is your diaconia. It's your service or your ministry. But a disposition, it means I'm going to dis you, remove you out of your position. So if you got a ruling disposition of alcohol, alcohol removes you from being who God has designed you. So God has designed you to be blank, but you got a ruling disposition of lust. You got a ruling disposition of fear. You got a ruling disposition of doubt. You got a ruling disposition. Whatever ruling disposition takes you out of your God-given position. So what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, is the simple understanding that even Christianity in its current form is a disposition. It's the gospel, but it's a spell. Now, the word gospel means good spell. But you've got to understand that it still is a spell. Now, if we got to be under a spell, let's be under the original spell, not a counterfeit version, not a watered-down version. Now, that requires some study, because there's a lot of people who, and I agree with them, but the thing that I don't like about what a lot of people teach, about what a lot of people say, that are very, very, very anti anything to do with any kind of spirituality. They say, well, you know, that word really means good tidings or good this, that, and other. Well, again, go to dictionary.com and look it up, and it means gospel means good spell. And as I've talked about on many shows, and again, I got $10,000 on the line that I'm waiting for somebody to prove me wrong. Look up the definition. Go to the seven phases of linguistics. Type in the word grammar. Type in the word grammaria. Type in the word grammar too. Go to Black's Law Dictionary. Look up the definition of these words, and you will find where I get all my teachings from. Everything that I teach is based upon universal spiritual law. Now, I'm not talking about the Catholic system or the Cathars. I'm talking about a system that was hijacked by the Catholic system and the Cathars. So I'm going, again, to the invisible realm. At the end of the day, this is what I do. At the end of the day, I do all my research, and then I see if that fits with my spirit. If it doesn't resonate with my spirit, I don't care how much facts I got, I know it is off. Now, if everybody listened to the sound of my voice, if you could listen to your own inner voice, why should I do that, Brother Will? Why should I do that, Doc? The reason that you should do that, because that inner voice inside of you, that's underneath all of the fluff, it's underneath the flesh, it's underneath the quantum realm, it's underneath the astral body, it's underneath the etheric body, there is a spark. You have the spark. You're like in the movie Transformers. Everybody has the R spark inside of you. If everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice will stop listening to me and follow that small little voice. Now, how do you know? Because when I was licensed and ordained minister, I was following that small still voice, and I went into error. So how can I follow a small still voice that leads me into error? Well, I'm a master teacher 33. that small, still voice knew. And it took me into places where everybody else who went and did, there are people who did exactly what I did. They got incurable diseases. Or they aspergitis is in prison. Or they got two at the base of the skull. There are people who did exactly what I did, and they're dead. And I'm not. Why? It's when you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you will fear no evil. What does that mean? Everybody has an anointing. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has an office. That is why, when, like he told Peter, hey, the devil desires to shift you as wheat. There is a frequency bubble that you have. That's what I like to call it. Some people like the Old Testament or the old folks, they like to call it, the anointing, or God has his hand over you. He has a hedge of protection over you. What does that mean? The word grammar means magic incantation. It means spell or mumbo jumbo. I'm reading this directly from dictionary.com. Grammar, 14th century, 12th century, grammarry, old French, grammar, learning, especially from the Latin grammar, magic incantation, spell or mumbo jumbo. That's what I'm doing right now. Certain mumbo jumbo has more of an effect on other people than it do. Certain mumbo jumbo doesn't have no effect on me because I have discernment. Discernment is a gift. It can be developed. Some people are born with it. I have the faculty. I have the mental faculty that other people don't have. See, I thought everybody had it. That's why I used to tell everybody, just follow your heart, man. Everything I've done wrong, I knew I was doing wrong before I did it. I just did it anyway because I wanted the end result. So it's just like when people, when I do stuff wrong, people are like, hey, why'd you do that? My grandmother told me when I was a kid, don't do stuff. I did it anyway. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Discernment means perception. It means a keen sense of perception and judgment. Since I was a kid, I've had this. Now, you got to develop that if you don't have it. Let me say that again. If you do not have discernment in the day and age and what's coming down the pipe, with the fact that they are able now to put pixels, they're putting metal shavings in the air, so that way they can do all of these holograms and these holographs to make images that are fake look real. And they're going to do these holograph projections. And now all of this Project Woodpecker and Woodbeam and all this stuff is coming down the pipe. You will not be able to know what is real and what is not real unless it bears witness with your spirit. So if I meet you tomorrow and something in my spirit tells me that you ain't legit, you could cry. You could cut your wrist and you could bleed. You could do whatever you want. I will not believe that whatever you're telling me is true, because I don't follow words, because, again, they can be manipulated. I don't follow facts because people can lie. I don't follow history. I don't even follow scientific research over my gut. I've had scientific research that proved the existence or the non-existence of what I now know to be true. So do you know that carbon dating is a lie? Anybody can carbon date. They had the Shroud of Turin that said that this was a cloth that was on Jesus' face. They got proof. They had videos. They had all of this technology. That's all a bunch of BS. So there's technology out that can prove and disprove. Do you know I can take a picture of you, and then I can take that out, and I can Photoshop somebody else's husband in there, and I can take you in there, and I can send it to their husband in there, and that person will believe that their husband is cheating on them, and their husband is at work. Technology can allow us to manipulate images. Technology, again, as I talked about inside of my book, technology is the new demon. Technology is the new god of this world. Technocrats are the new gods. The people who understand technology. So I'm not against technology. I just understand that technology is a tool to be used to basically get me to override my sixth sense. So I am begging, I am pleading that everybody listening to the sound of my voice, follow your heart. Now, you know in your spirit, I could go through all of the facts about Christianity. You know that when you go to church, You feel really good. You know that. You feel really good when you go to church. When they play the worship music, when the Reverend Dr. Bishop gets up and he says the sermon, you feel. But what do you do? Does that feeling translate over into actions? Does that feeling change the biological? Does that feeling do what I'm doing? What am I doing? I am removing your limiting core beliefs. I am going in using claironomics, using spiritual therapeutics, and I'm overriding the ruling disposition. There, you have a familiar spirit. We all do. It was passed down from our generation to generation. There is a demon over wealth. His name is arrogance. And I'm using the English word. That's not his real name. There's a demon over health. His name is passiveness. That's why I see you laid back. You say, yeah, I'll start working out tomorrow. I'm going to eat this donut today, and I'm gonna stop eating donuts tomorrow. Passiveness controls health. Arrogance controls wealth. Victimhood, being a victim, controls wisdom. Separation controls relationship. You cannot have a great relationship when you feel separated. You feel separate. You don't feel a part of. That's the number one. That demon is in every bad relationship. Why? Shit, I got it. I'm trying to get rid of it. Me and my wife struggle with this. Why? I don't feel a part of the team. And hell, it's not her job to make me feel a part of the team. It's my job to make myself feel a part of the team, to feel a part of the family. If I don't go to no family functions, don't do anything or whatever, then I'm wondering why I don't feel a part of the team. That is a ruling disposition. That ruling disposition is in your life right now. If you are in a relationship, I guarantee you somebody, one part in the relationship, doesn't feel appreciated. They don't feel valued, so they're going to go look for it elsewhere. They don't feel understood. They feel separated. If you lack wisdom, it's because you feel a victim. Everybody that I met that are ignorant is because they're a victim. They think something was done to them. They feel they got a spirit of entitlement. They're waiting for somebody to come back and do something for them because they've been victimized. Therefore, you cannot receive wisdom because wisdom says get up and do it yourself. The opposite of wisdom is the victimhood. Health means you got to be. Health is the opposite of passivity. If you are passive, you're not gonna have good health. You cannot be. You got to be aggressive when it comes to your health. They put fluoride in your water. You got to aggressively take it out. They put chemtrails in the air. You got to do something. If you do not do something, you're gonna be sick. If you just live your life and just eat whatever they put on the table, you breathe the air, you drink the water, you wear the clothes, you put in the fabric softeners, you do. If you just do what they advertise, if you are passive about taking responsibility, you will be sick and you will die and you will before your time. Well, let me rephrase that. You'll be killed. I'm not going to be killed. I'm going to die. When you die, that means you fulfilled your purpose, you did what you called to do, you make a smooth transition, and you go from the physical realm into the quantum realm. From the quantum realm into the etheric realm. But if you're killed, you gotta come back. And then arrogance is the demon that prevents. Well, an arrogant person, there's somebody listening to me right now. Your arrogance doesn't allow you to receive what I'm saying. When you are arrogant, that means you know everything. You freaking know it all. And if you know it all, hell, you can't listen to nobody. You can't learn nothing. God can't even show up. God himself will show up at your house. You're like, can't teach me nothing, dude. I know it all. Arrogance is the father of poverty. Every fool I know that's poor is arrogant as hell. How do I know? Shit, I just got rid of that fool about 30 days ago. You couldn't tell me nothing. He was big as a freaking brick. Because I was arrogant. So it is the understanding. So when you go and feel good, does it address your arrogance? No. Does it address your passivity? No. Does it address the fact that you're a victim? No. You're feeling good. Don't get me wrong. You feel good. It is a coping mechanism, bruh. It is a coping mechanism. It allows you to cope with the fact that you're arrogant. It allows you to cope. with the fact that you're a victim. It allows you to cope with the fact that you're separated. It coddles you, bruh. It coddles you, sis. You are being coddled. And so what it is that they make you feel good all the way until you die or until you're killed. Well, I'm tired of feeling good. I don't want to feel good. Until I am wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship where my toes are curled every day, all day, 24/7, 365, I don't want to be happy. I don't want to be coddled. I don't want to be pacified. Do you know that satisfaction is the father? Satisfaction is the father of death. Everybody that dies, they're satisfied. So dissatisfaction is the father of success. Satisfaction is the father of failure. If you are satisfied, you might want to look out, brother. Because guess what? Old boy with that sickle is right around the corner. So, Brother Will, you saying, man, what are you saying? What are you really saying? I'm saying that I don't want to go to a church that makes me feel good. I want to go to a church that makes me feel damn uncomfortable, dissatisfied. I want somebody to point out my, hey, dude, you an arrogant prick. Sit your ass down here and learn something. I want somebody to speak into my life. I don't want nobody to pacify me. I want somebody to tell me, hey, Brother Will, man, I don't agree with you, bro. I think that was wrong, dude. I know you got good intentions and all that stuff, man, but hey, that was whack. Really? Okay. Well, why is it whack? Point out to me how my behavior needs to be modified. See, unless you are biologically, electrically, and chemically changed, your ass ain't saved. Now, let me say that again as I bring this message to a close. You have to be chemically induced, electrically amplified, and biologically regened. In other words, you got to do something. Now, when you go to church and you sit there and you listen, what do you biologically, electrically, and chemically do? Now, we know faith without works is dead. Faith, no works, equals you dying spiritually. Now, I don't want you to die spiritually. I want you to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship spiritually. So how do we do that? The only way to do that is through what I call clarinomic behavioral modification. That just simply means hidden science, which simply means spirit, which simply means mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. Those are all etheric stuff. In other words, they are ethereal. In other words, they're non-physical. Demonstration means physical. That's why you're a monster. So the more demonstration, the more physical stuff you do, the less spiritual you are. The less spiritual, that's why Christianity is so dangerous. Because you're not doing nothing physically and you ain't doing nothing spiritually. So, Brother Will, you saying some great shizness, dog. What is the bottom line? Our five senses, really we got 12 senses, but we only know about five, have been replaced by paranoia instead of metanoia. Now, the mini shows are, we're out of time, so I'm not going to break this down. But as I said, metanoia is faith. Meta means before, noia, brain. Para means after. Paranoia, fear. Noia, mind. Metanoia, faith, noia, mind. Fear-based. Remember, fear is manufactured. It's not real. We live in an environment where fear and ignorance is manufactured. They got to make it up because it's not real. You're not ignorant, but they make you think you're ignorant because they gave you a bunch of facts that was given to you by Constantine, and you believe them. Research that shizness, man, and you will find out that that shizness is not true. You will find out that the elder brother, Judas Christus, with his Christus followers, they conspired to take the throne of Rome, because that was their royal birthright. They was captured. They was tortured. They was crucified. The Christians, not no damn Christians. These are the Essenes. This is historical fact. Now, if you don't believe it, Jesus himself is an Essene. They say he was a Nazarene, but really he's an Essene. He's from Essenes. These scenes, they were cookie blowers. These scenes, they didn't worship stuff. They did stuff. And look at what these scenes did. They primarily hung out in the nature. They hung out in the sun. They took fresh water bath. They did fresh water intimates. They primarily ate a high vegan diet. They walked out into the, and they had problems stepping on a blade of grass because they said if they destroyed a blade of grass, it was like destroying the Father. They put a lot of emphasis upon their biological temple, the Essenes. So I've patterned my life, my diet, my thinking, everything that I do after the Essenes. Because according to the original text, when you go back far enough, the Essenes, that's who Yahushua was. But it was more of a mindset. It was more of what I call spiritual therapy. It's a healing approach that works primarily outside of traditional psychology and traditional religion. I call it spiritual therapeutics. So I'm a spiritualologist because of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Beware lest Satan should get advantage over you, for you are not ignorant of his devices." So why are you ignorant of Satan's devices when the Bible says that you're not ignorant of his devices? Let me read that same scripture in the New Living Translation. For the word of God, I'm sorry, not that translation, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and exposes your innermost desires. So the only question that I have for you is, what is the word of God? A word is a spoken thought. A thought is an unspoken word. It's a frequency. It's called consciousness. It's called perception. It's called discernment. If your discernment is based on the ruling word of God, not based upon somebody's opinion, not based upon something that you read, words, frequencies are real things. They are real things. Everything I do is based up on the frequency that's not outside of me. This frequency is inside of me, because if you change your words, you change your world. See, the problem with our mind is our minds is not merely, or it is, it, our minds is limited or finite. Our mind doesn't have all this information. Our minds are in a fallen state. So we have to operate in the spirit. A spirit is an unspoken thought. Let me say that again. A spirit is an unspoken thought. So the devil is fighting you in your mind. That's why we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So there's a war going on for control of your mind. You have to follow your spirit, not mine, yours. And the way that you follow your spirit is to get somewhere where it's quiet. Turn off the TV. Turn off the cell phone. Sit in silence. You will find, my brothers and sisters, that the disclosure of your words illuminates, providing understanding to your temple. Let me read that again. That is the New Living Translation of one of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 119, verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When you unfold, notice whose words it was. Yours. Brothers and sisters, you are so, man, if you just believed in yourself, I'm talking to myself now. If I just believed in myself, none of the problems that existed in my life would ever exist. Because I know, and I override it with fear. I know what I should do. I know what I should say. I know where I should go. I know, but there is something in me, and there are four things that are in you. These are the limited habit patterns that are inside of you right now. That's why I have the Claironomics program, and that's why I help people get past these programs, because these programs are demons. These are dispositions. They make you go and be animated. What are those four? Arrogance, passiveness, victimhood, separation. If you don't get past those four gatekeepers, those are the four demons that control the four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. I deal with those ruling dispositions every day. If you don't get past your arrogance, if you don't have humility, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That is the only reason I'm still here. It's because of God's grace that came from me being humble. I got that from my mother. I got two things from my mother. That was her humility and her ability to pray. The next thing, my brothers and sisters, if you don't, in order for you to be successful, spiritually successful, the money and all this other stuff comes after the spirit success. That's what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. So if you can get humility, brothers and sisters, if you can become aggressive or take ownership, aggressive maybe is the wrong word. If you can just be responsible for your own life, that means self-preservation, contrary to popular belief. Number one, you got to have humility. Number two, you got to have a sense of self-preservation. You got to love yourself, man. You got to love yourself, because if you love yourself, you're not going to eat the whole box of donuts. You might eat one, but you ain't going to eat the whole damn box. You might have a drink, but you ain't going to become an alcoholic. If you have self-respect and self-preservation, that's going to override this passiveness that you have about your own health. Number one, humility. Number two, man, you have to have self-preservation, self-responsibility. Number three, you got to get rid of the spirit of entitlement. You got to get rid of the victimhood mentality. You're not a victim. You are a priest. Nothing has happened to you. You allow people to disrespect you. Stop allowing people to disrespect you. You're not a victim. Nobody took advantage of you. At least if you're an adult. You're an adult now. I'm talking to all of the adults. Stop being a victim. That is why you are operating ignorance. Ignorance can only exist in an environment where victimhood exists. Ignorance, wisdom shows up when you are no longer a victim. Wisdom shows up when you say, okay, what did I do to make this person think they can talk to me like that? I did something wrong, obviously, because he's confused. What did I do? Women, what did you do to make your man think that freaking have the audacity, the other freaking idea for the thought to come into his damn brain? Something, obviously something, because you got it twisted, bro. That's not happening, and that's not happening. I am not the one. You ain't no victim. Stop allowing stuff to happen. How do you do that? By you seeing worth and value in yourself. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to see worth and see yourself the way God sees you. That is worth. That is value. You're not a victim. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. That's what the Bible says. You're not a victim. Being a victim is the only thing that allows you to continue to be poor, to continue to operate in a poor creator role. That's the ignorance role. You don't want to be ignorant. You got wisdom. And last, stop isolating yourself. Brother Will, I got to get rid of this demon. This spirit of being separate. You got to be separate. You can't hang out with nobody. You don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to go to no function. You just want to just sit at home and watch TV all day. You don't want to sit behind a computer. You don't want to do shizness. That separation, the reason that you separate yourself is because of your low self-esteem, because of your victim. See, when you come to the table with something, see, I never want to go nowhere without nothing. See, separation is a subconscious belief that you ain't got shizness to offer. So you're not going to go to a potluck because you can't bring a dish. So separation in a relationship means that you're in a relationship, but you don't feel like that you deserve the person that you're with. So you are slowly sabotaging that relationship. You see that person like, man, how did I land that person? Ooh, I lucked up. I don't know why she with me. I don't know why he with me. No, they with you because you deserve that person and somebody even better than that person. Stop separating yourself. Stop the mental disposition that says you're not worthy. We have to override by inclusion. So we need inclusion. If somebody invites you, go, unless it's something negative, but you know what I mean. All I'm simply saying is separating ourselves, isolating ourselves because we're better than, well, you know what, I can't hang out with them lower level entities because, you know, I'm an eagle. They're a chicken. You know how we get when we get haughty? We get a little full of ourselves. Don't do that, brothers. Don't do that, sisters. Remain humble. Take this attitude of self-preservation. Stop being a victim and start taking responsibility for your own life. Practice the art of inclusion. And brothers and sisters, we will see you at the top. Brothers and sisters, thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming.